Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Happy to be here with you again in Worcester. I want to read four portions and speak a little word in the gospel. The first reading is in Second Samuel chapter 1 for the first reading. Second Samuel 1 and verse number 26 are the words of David. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. Second reading would be in Romans chapter 5 in the New Testament. And verse number 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The third verse is John chapter 3. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the final reading in the Old Testament, Jeremiah, chapter 31. And verse number 3. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And God will bless the readings of his word. I want to speak about God's love. That's a great subject to talk about. My favorite verse is in 1 John, God is love. God is many things, but that's the best of all, I think, to know that God is love. And we all can relate to love. We love to be loved, and we love to love, and God is love. And in the verse, the first reading, David is speaking to Jonathan. They are believers in Christ. They love one another with a spiritual love, as brethren do. The Lord Jesus said, the world will know you're my disciples by the love you have one to another. They'll see this love we have one to another. And David and Jonathan love deeply one another in Christ. And this love he's speaking of, passing love of women, is beyond that, you see. There's no woman could love a man or a man love a woman as we as brethren love one another in Christ as family. And God's love shed abroad in our hearts. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me, he said. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. This word love, it implies a strong, ardent, and vehement inclination of the mind, tenderness, and fullness of affection. This is how Jonathan loved him. And it's used of the unspeakable love and tender mercies of God. It's the same word. That is how God loves in this way. Wonderful. This love is extraordinary love. Distinguished love. Unusual love. Beyond human capabilities. It is astonishment, incomprehensible, the love, this wonderful love that God has for us. And also is to cause a wonderful thing to happen. And when I hear of God's love for me and how he loved me and how he displayed that love at Calvary, the giving of his son, and how his son suffered so, it should touch my heart. It should touch my heart, should touch your heart this morning. If you don't know him, if you're a stranger to Christ, may this morning be the day you're no longer a stranger to Christ. Job said, acquaint now, become a friend of God, acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. It's my prayer that God speaks to your heart. If you don't know him, you haven't even yet begun to live yet. You think you're alive, you're living. You're not living at all. You're dead in trespasses and sins. We need a spiritual rebirth. God's love shed abroad in my heart. May that take place this morning in someone's heart. Passing, to cross over, to go beyond and further. That's the love. This is the kind of love. Jonathan had this love for David, and it's God's love. It's unparalleled love, I will say that. Unparalleled love. Running side by side, our love, no matter what kind of love down here is displayed, at some point it veers off. It can't run parallel to this love. It's unparalleled love. 1 John 4 and 9, God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this word is not just to be happy, but to have life in all its manifestations from the very life of God. That's the word live, that we might live through him. Be a joyful people down here. Well, there's always around us living in fear. Everybody's afraid. Well, we are not afraid. We are God's people. His love is in my heart. He's in control of my life. And I dwell in love. I seek to dwell in love. And he that dwelleth in love, God says, you dwell in me, because I am love. And he goes further than that, and I dwell in you. God is love. Behold, 1 John 3:1, behold now, see what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, sons of God, daughters of God. All love. We are unlovable to God. We are so unlike God. He is sinless, pure, and holy. And what are we? We know what we are, don't we? I don't know your thoughts. You don't know my thoughts. And I'm glad you don't know my thoughts. I'm glad I don't know your thoughts. God never has thoughts like that. He can't sin. Incapable of sinning. He did no sin, knew no sin. In him no sin. Unlovable. And yet, God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son into this world, despised, rejected, hated was he. Just read a gospel. Read any gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you'll see. He was hated, despised, rejected of men. And then finally they said, away with him, away with that man. And all he showed them was love. Every day he loved them. He healed all that came unto him. And how sad today that men and women hear of his love in Calvary and his call to them, and they don't come. Why would you not come this morning if you're not a Christian and begin to live, really live now? Jesus Christ said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. A supernatural life is what we have. Unparalleled love. In 1852... February 26, Simon's Bay, off the coast of Scotland, the ship, the Birkenhead was the name of the ship. A special day, the family was there on the ship with the sailors, you know, wives and children. And something terrible happened. They're about a mile from shore, one or two miles, and this ship is sinking. And they knew it's going down. It was an explosion in the engine room. They had lifeboats for the sailors on the lifeboats, enough for them. But today, women and children. So what were they going to do? Well, naturally what they did, we put the women and children in the lifeboats, assign one man to the lifeboat to man the oars and bring them to shore. What an awful day that must be. I think of it sometimes. There's wives and children looking at their daddy for the last time. The ship's going down. And those men watching their wives, the last time they're seeing them, they know that. I'll never see her again, the mother of my children. I'll never see my children again, because today is the day I die. This is a true story. He's famous in Scotland, Alex Russell. He was 17 years old. He was a Christian man. And he's rowing the boat. He's manned the boat, full of women and children. Nobody else on the boat will sink the boat. Nobody else can get in that lifeboat. And there's a man, lo and behold, a man in the water. And he can swim. He's coming near the boat. And Alex Russell hears a cry from the back. My husband, my husband. And his eyes are fastened on her and two little kids beside her. Alex Russell didn't take him long. He looked at the man. He slipped over the side of the boat. He couldn't swim. He got a hold of the man. He pushed him up into the boat so he could man the boat. And Alex Russell, he was a born-again Christian. He knew where he was going. And they all looked at him, and he's looking at that woman. He's so happy to see the husband. And with a smile, they said, with a smile, he went beneath the waves and drowned and went home to glory. Now, that is that love, or what kind of love is that? You don't hear much love like that, do you? I will say this. In spite of that great act of love, it doesn't parallel God's love. It does not. It was not for a boat full of women and children that Christ died. He died for the whole world, every sinner in the world. Jesus Christ loves all and died for all. That's unparalleled love. The second verse we read was in Romans 5 and 8. But God commendeth, or he proved to us, he established and exhibited to us his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 7 says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man one would even dare to die. But it says Christ died for the ungodly. How's that? Not a good man, righteous man. He died for ungodly men. These very men with hatred in their hearts on that day, surrounded by them, for them he died. He loved them. He knew they would say to they would. He knew what they would say. Away with him. We don't want him. We hate this man of love. We don't want him. Give us Barabbas, the robber, murderer. Give us that man. That man, we don't want him. Verse 10 goes further than that. For when we were yet enemies of God. You might sit there and say, oh, I'm not an enemy of God. Yes, you are. We are. Believe God. To be saved, you know, you must take sides with God against yourself. Well, I don't feel like an enemy of God. But God says, yes, you are. By your very life, living your life without me, not bowing the knee to Christ, surrendering your life to Christ, you show me you're my enemy. You don't love righteousness. You don't love the Bible. You don't love getting alone in prayer to me. You just go on living your life, doing what's right in your own eyes. We are, my friend, enemies of God. But what love is this? He died for his enemies. Unmerited love. Unmerited love. We didn't deserve this love. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Grace means receiving something that I don't deserve. We don't deserve this salvation. We don't deserve this love. It's unmerited. John 1:14, it says, the Lord Jesus Christ came full of grace and love, unmerited favor. We love him because he first loved us. Herein is love. Verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, or the one who pays a penalty for. The one who was punished for me, for you, punished on the cross. God says, here is love, here is love. And it's unmerited love. There were two boys. Their daddy was gone. They lived at home with their mommy. And she worked every day to support the little boys. It was springtime. And she's going to work in the morning. And she left the two boys, so they must have been maybe 12 and 10. And they said, Mommy, can we go fishing today? Because the river, the ice off the river. But she said, definitely not, because the river's swollen. The banks are muddy. You go down there, you can slip in the water and drown. So do not go fishing. So she went to work. And one boy looked at the other boy and says, hey, Mommy will never know. We'll wash the mud off our boots, put our fishing rods away. She'll never know. Disobeying their mother, the boys went fishing. And just as she predicted, it happened. One boy slipped. It's a true story. Grabbed his brother's boot. He's trying to grab something to hold on to. And he pulled his brother into the water. It's swollen. It's moving. They're going to drown. There was a man, a young man, who happened to see that he was standing there. God put him there, I know that. So I could tell the story today. The young man was there. Without hesitation, he dove in the water. He got hold of both the boys in his arms, made his way to the shore and pushed them up. And they got safe on the bank. But he was exhausted. He had no more strength left. And beneath the waves he goes, and he drowns. He was the only son of a father who was a widower. And when the news spread, it was a small town. Everybody knew what happened. It was a sad, sad day in that town. And the day of the funeral came. After the funeral, they're at the graveyard. And the two boys, how do you think those two boys felt now? Their disobedience caused the death of this young man. They were standing afar off from that graveside, far away from that father. And then after it was over, the father walks towards the two boys. And that place is silent. They're watching this scene now. What is he going to say to these two boys? Their disobedience caused the death of his only son. When he got near to them, he got on his knees. He said, come near, boys. And he put his arms around them. And he gave them each a kiss. He said, I know you didn't mean for my son to die. And I want you to know that I forgive you. I forgive you. And you forgive yourselves now, all right? Forgive yourselves. What kind of love is that? That's unmerited love. Do those boys deserve that love? They didn't deserve that at all. But they got it just the same. And that's a picture of God's love for us. Our disobedience caused the death of his son on the cross. Our disobedience to God. And he loves us just the same. The prodigal son running home to his father. He doesn't expect this kind of love. And what's the father do? Runs to him, embraces him, and what? Kisses him. He kisses his son. And the father has been waiting all your life for you to come to him. And he'll embrace you and give you the kiss of forgiveness. Although we don't deserve it, we just bow our heads in reverence and say, God, thank you. Thank you for loving me this way. Unmerited love. We don't deserve this love. And then we read John 3:16. That's the most famous verse in the whole wide world. And it tells of the love of God. The story of salvation is there. For God so loved the world. How did he show us that? That he gave his only begotten Son. Why? That whosoever is anyone, anybody's whosoever, it's amazing. It doesn't matter how old you are, young or old, whosoever, how much you sin, doesn't matter. God is love. Whosoever believeth on him, receives him, embraces Christ, brings him into my life, sets him on the throne of my heart. Lord Jesus Christ, I step down the throne of my heart as king of my life, running the show. No, Lord, no more. You take the throne upon the seat of on the throne of my heart, and you be Lord of my life. That's what he is waiting for, whosoever will. There was a preacher preaching this to a great number of children, about 200 of them. And he's trying to get an impress on their hearts. Whosoever will, may come. Then he took a 5-shilling note, put it down in the pulpit. He said, now, whosoever wants this bill can have it. Whosoever will of you children wants this 5 shillings, you come, you can have it. And they all sat there. They all sat there just looking, you know. They didn't get it. Didn't understand what he was saying. Whosoever. It's anybody. Finally, one boy, 5 years old, timidly gets up and he's walking into the front. The children are all watching him, like, well, where's he going? He's a bold little boy. And he put his hand up, you know, trembling a little bit, and he grabbed it, turned around to go, and the preacher said, wait a minute, boy. Woof. The boy turned around. He said, what's your name? He said, Cecil Smithers, sir. Well, I didn't say Cecil Smithers could have that. Did I? No, he said, you didn't. But you said, whosoever. And I know whosoever means me. Turned around, back to his seat. He got it. He got it. May you get it this morning. You see, it's for you. It's for you. Whosoever will. He turns nobody away. Nobody. He'll receive you. He'll receive you this morning, you know. Unmistakable love. I remember I came home one time from being away many years ago. Our children were small. My wife has been alone lots and lots of times, you know, with our children. And I normally will get in touch with her when I'm away. This is before the phones, you know, texting and all that stuff. And I was so busy. Those of you who know Harold Smith will know. He's like on fire all the time, you know. He's about 20 years older than me. I can't keep up with him. Every morning we get up, we go visiting house to house, having gospel meetings in Cambridge, Nova Scotia, a little village. And we're passing invitations, talking to people. We stop for lunch, eat lunch, back out we go. And we're visiting house to house, talking to people all afternoon, till supper time, dinner time. We go to somebody's house, have dinner, to the meeting, preach the gospel. Then we go back to where we're staying, then Harold gets the Bible out. It's a Bible reading now, till midnight or so, 1 a.m. And day after day, he's wearing me out. Hi, Harold, what are you doing? And I meant to call Lynn, you know, but too late now when I thought about it. I can't call her now. She's probably sleeping. Well, you know what happened? The 10 days go by, and I didn't call her anyway. So I go home, and I walk in the kitchen. I put down my suitcase, and I hugged her, and I kissed her. I says, I love you, Lynn. And she looked at me, and she said, really? I said, yes. Yes. Well, if you love me, then why didn't you call me once to see what I was doing here with our children all by myself? You never called me once. Why, that blew me away. I never forgot that day. Never forgot it. Yeah. Yes, love is shown. It's demonstrated. Demonstrate your love. Not saying I love you. It's easy, isn't it? I love you. Demonstrate your love. Unmistakable love. John 3:16, God showed us, didn't he? I gave my son, watch my son, see my son, hang on that cross and suffer for you. For you, he did that. Unmistakable. Perceive. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. There was a young boy named Booker. I think he was about 4. In Colorado, he's visiting his grandparents. And his parents were away for a few days, and the grandparents were happy to have little Booker in their home. And they had a dog, a little Chihuahua, and Booker was always going over to it. And no, this boy was younger than that. Yeah, he was only about three. And he'd go always try and make, he liked the chihuahua, but looked like the chihuahua didn't like him, you know? He'd just walk away from him. So they assumed that the dog, the dog's name was Zoe. Yeah, Zoe. And Zoe doesn't like that boy. One morning, Booker gets up, and the grandparents still in bed. And he just has his bare feet and his little shorts on in the kitchen. He looks out and he sees that there's a bird bath in the backyard and birds are in it. And he grabs the door and wasn't locked. And he slides it and he went out. And he goes over to the bird bath and gets on his tiptoes and he's splashing in the water, having a good time. But he did, unknown to him, about 4 feet away was a rattlesnake, and he wasn't happy. This little boy was disturbing his rest, and the tail rattled, and the head came up, and his intention is to bite that little boy and this little calf and end that. And as his head began to move, Zoe the chihuahua was there, unknown to the boy even, and that dog rushed between the head of the snake and the boy's leg. He took the bite in his own head. He took the poison in his own head, the chihuahua. And he didn't stop there. He barked, 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 barked to chase the snake away. I had a happy ending. The dog, they got him in time to the vet, he survived, you see. Now, is that love? Did that dog love the boy? They thought he didn't even like the boy. He loved the boy. The dog would have died for that boy. That's unmistakable love, isn't it? They would say, man, that dog loved Booker. And that's the love of God. It's unmistakable love, isn't it? See him on the cross. See Christ there. Battered and bruised. He didn't even look like a man. They hit him so many times in the face. He was unrecognizable as a human being. Blood running down his back. From his hands and feet and side, at the end of the side, flowing on the ground. For me and for you, my friend. Understand, it was for you. And one day you'll give an account to God if you don't bow the knee. If you do not receive him. That's why he did it, a purpose, you see, for you. For your sins he died. He does not want to say to you, depart from me. I never knew you. He's calling you. All your life he's been calling you. This morning, right now, God's calling you to himself. To come to him. Surrender your life to him. Live a life worth living. Purpose and meaning. Joy and love and peace in your heart. And not looking for happiness down here under the sun. May God speak to you solemnly this morning. May you understand what happened there. The solemnity of that. God turned his back on his son, you know. He forsook his son and punished him. 3 hours of darkness he was punished. He suffered. We have no idea how he suffered for us, for you and for me. Think about that now. Don't just go on living your life and being happy, trying to be happy down here. I'll tell you what, it won't work. It will not work. You'll not be happy down here. This is an awful world, present evil world. Doesn't matter what you get your own way. You'll get your own way if you want it. I'll tell you what, you won't be satisfied. You won't have peace and joy. There'll be an emptiness in your heart your whole life. Because only Christ can fill that void, emptiness in your heart. Only Christ. So it's unparalleled love, unmerited love, unmistakable love. And finally, it's unending love. Isn't that wonderful? Unending love. He'll never stop loving us. He said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise, it says, I will never, never, under any circumstances, no matter what you do, no matter what you say, I will never cast you out of my family. Never. That's what he said. Strong words. Eternal life. I give unto them eternal life. It's the same thing. Double negative in the Greek. I'll never take it away. Everlasting life is yours. And we read in Jeremiah, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Everlasting love, all through time, all through eternity. Everlasting love. He's my eternal Father. Think of that, what it's saying. Eternal Father. He'll never stop being my Father. He became my Father the day I came to Christ. He'll become your Father today. Your Father. If you'll believe on His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 5 and 9, the author of eternal salvation. Eternal. Never, never cast you out of my family. It's unending love. I remember I married a young man. He was in our home all the time. And we're in St. Stephen's, best friends with my son, Dennis. Baylor was his name. And he meets this young girl. And she professes to be saved. And she appeared to be Christ and in Christ. But see, you know, something you can say I'm a Christian. It doesn't make you a Christian. I'm a Christian. Are you really? Are you really a Christian? You know what the word Christian means? A Christ one. Apostrophe S. I belong, not to me. I belong to Christ. That's a Christian. Well, she said she was a Christian. By all appearances, she seemed to be a Christian. They're married 2 years. And one day she comes home and says to Baylor, I don't love you anymore. Bye-bye. And she's gone. So that wasn't, what kind of love was that? Not unending love, no. What kind of love is that? No. I remember I saw a heart, big heart in the back of a windshield with wings on it. I know what the guy's saying. Oh, I used to love you. Bye-bye. Don't love you anymore. That's marriages today, couples today. I love you. I love you today. Oh, yes. Something happens. Years go by. I don't love you anymore. I don't love you anymore. Found somebody else to love, and away they go. God's love is so unique, so different. Everlasting love. Everlasting love. There was a man who had a son. He was a widower. He was a Christian man. I think his son may have been a Christian man. I'm not sure. He struggled with drinking. And he had friends. And whenever he got together with his friends, the father wouldn't see him for maybe a week, 2 weeks, off drinking. But he always came back. And he was sorry. Genuinely sorry. Daddy, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. He's in his 20s. And his father would forgive him. He says, son, it's all right. Your bed's upstairs, your bedroom. Go have a bath. I'll put supper on for us, son. One day, years go by, his neighbor asks him, how are you getting on now with that boy of yours? He said, well, actually, I haven't seen my boy in 10 days. His neighbor said, you know what? If he was my son, I'd kick him out. And the man looked at him and said, well, if he was your son, I'd kick him out too. But he's not your son. He's not your son. He's my son. My son. And I'll never kick him out. I'll never kick him out. Never. That's the kind of love that God has for us. Never, never will I cast you out of my family or mine forever. His love. Unparalleled love. Unmistakable love, unmerited love, and unending love. Oh, my dear one, this morning, if you're not in Christ, get in Christ today. Have your sins forgiven and begin to live. Begin to live a real life down here with God. God bless you. Thanks for listening. We'll pray. Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful, Father, we've had this time to consider your love, Father. And we thank you, it states plainly and clearly so we understand God is love. Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful that you love us with this unending love, Father. And we pray, we who know thee, we lift up our hearts together now, Father, and pray on behalf of any in this room, young or old, Father, who don't know thee. If they've come to the realization this morning that they don't know thee, Father, May this be the day that matters are settled between them and thee, and they humble themselves and come to thee, Father, and surrender their lives to thee. Stop running away from you, Father, hiding from you, being stubborn. May this be the day they stop and understand this love, Father, irresistible love. May they come to thee, Father. We understand, Father, that salvation is of the Lord. You convict of sin, Father, and you grant repentance, Father. So we pray this might happen this morning, and that salvation might visit someone this morning in this room. We ask your blessing now as we would part, giving thanksgiving unto thee for all that we enjoy in Christ, for this time we've had to remember our Lord Jesus Christ this morning and to look into thy word at the powerful gospel, Father. We thank thee and praise thee, bless thee in our Savior's worthy name, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.